about because that's the Palm Sunday thing.
But did you know, and maybe some of you did, that Hosanna means save us, especially God save us. And so it's a, you know, it's a term of saying deliver us, save us. They were looking at Jesus as being the potential Messiah, saying, could you save us? Could you be the one? And then it wasn't but a week later when they talked, well, maybe not, because you were crucified. But that was actually all God's plan, wasn't it? That he would die to save us. Not just to fix all of our problems here on earth, but to save us and save our deepest spiritual needs, our souls. Pretty cool, huh? Yeah, that's pretty cool!
Yeah.
All right,
excellent.
Well, that's my preaching for today. I'm done. Mark's going to take it from here. We're gonna pray. We're going to bring the drama team up. We're going to pray. We're going to read the scripture, Psalm 136. Which you may recognize because it was modeled on a song we just sang, or something like that. Anyway, let's start with a word of prayer and take it from there. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you that we get to be together to praise your name. And Lord, we say Hosanna this morning. We look to you for our deliverance. We look to you for our salvation, not our own strength, not science and technology. Not politics. Oh, thank God, not politics. Not religion. Not even our friends. But we look to you. And so, Lord, we come here this morning just saying Hosanna. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's do Psalm 136, the drama team, and then some special music. Can we do special music? We normally don't do.
We don't do special music.
Well, okay. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. A little repetition here. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. Here's how we're going to do the rest of this. You are going to say, for his steadfast love. There we go. All right, you got it. Who alone does great wonders?
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Who by understanding made the heavens?
For his steadfast love endures forever.
You're doing great. Who spread out the earth and on the waters?
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Who made the great lights?
For his steadfast love endures forever.
The sun to rule over the day?
For his steadfast love endures forever.
The moon and the stars to rule over the night?
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Who struck Egypt through their firstborn?
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And brought Israel out from among them?
For his steadfast love endures forever.
With a strong hand and an outstretched arm?
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Who divided the Red Sea in two?
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And made Israel pass through the midst of it?
For his steadfast love endures forever.
You guys have the easy part. Who overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea?
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Who led his people through the wilderness?
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Who struck down great kings?
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And killed famous kings?
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Sion, king of the Amorites.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And Og, king of Bashan.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And gave their land as a heritage.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
A heritage to his servant Israel.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
It is he who remembered us in our low estate.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And rescued us from our foes.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Who gives food to all flesh.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
You guys have it memorized. That's great. Let's bring the drama team up. You guys
could just get up here and say, you got it. See you guys. But
I figure I should probably say something at least.
Let's excuse the kids.
You know. If the children have not yet left, then they may now. Although I think it seems like a lot of them actually already did. Oh, the sparks are going with Dan.
I know.
They might make it to the end of the service. We'll see. So, I will admit, one of the reasons that I was really, well, there were two big reasons I was excited when Steve told me he had set this song to music in the past was, one, knowing Steve and his musical style, is I felt like this was as close as we were going to get to actually understanding what it might have been like to sing the Psalms as ancient Israelites. Just that you hear it as poetry and as a song, and somebody with musical talent, i.e. not me, was going to make that happen for you was awesome. And the other thing is I really wanted to see how he was going to sing Og, King of Bashan. That line does not lend itself, but it worked. So one of the things I have realized as I've been, so as we've been preaching through the Psalms, I've been reading through them. It's a piece of the Bible that I often glazed over in the past, and I've spent a lot of time in it over the last couple of months. And I've found that I've really learned a lot about being able to get into the head of people who read these Psalms historically. So ancient Israel, all the way through to Jesus' day, into the church age, pilgrims going to Jerusalem over the last 2,000 years, this has become sort of a journey for me of understanding how the Psalms work and how they have worked in history. So I'm now, Psalm 136 is, if you remember a few weeks ago, I preached on the Psalms of Ascents, which were previous to this. They were Psalms that were recited by pilgrims as they went to Jerusalem to go to the temple. Goes up through Psalm 134. And then Psalm 135, 136, 137 were psalms that were said by groups of pilgrims at the temple. And then the following nine were often said alone after visiting the temple. So I've actually preached one from each of those two ends, and now I'm in the middle. So this is one of the public psalms, which as we just sang it together, this is a psalm to sing as a group. Like it is just, it's got groove, at least when Steve sings it. If it had been me, I would not have had groove, because that's not something I have. But this is something that was experienced by people through the ages together as they journeyed to Jerusalem, and that includes the church age. Christian pilgrims for the last couple thousand years have followed this practice as well. So I have experienced that and been just fascinated by the way the Psalms have existed. And as a kid, I was either forced to memorize or read Psalms a lot and never really got it. So this journey's been a really incredible thing for me. So let's go ahead and throw the Psalm back up there in a version that can be understood by normal human beings. Of my age, anyway. I actually first memorized scripture in Old King James as well. But I have transitioned. So this is a psalm, obviously, of Thanksgiving. Dan mentioned earlier that the word Hosanna, the give thanks to the Lord for he is good, his steadfast love endures forever. Save us. Hallelujah. These words that were used at the triumphal entry that this psalm would have been one of those. This was, triumphal entry was at Passover, so, or previous to it. So this would have been one of the psalms that what everyone was reciting as their group made it to Jerusalem and got to the temple. They would say it together. So this celebratory nature, this thing that the people of Israel were doing as Jesus came into town, that is what was going on there. And we continue to sing it to this day. Sorry, I'm mixing into my... But like Dan said, some of the songs we sang this morning are very directly based off of this. It hasn't gone away. I have to bring my notes up before I get lost. So why do we keep going back to, why do we praise God? Why give thanks to the Lord? why do we keep doing this for, you know, whatever it would be, over 3,000 years, this particular passage has been recited by people who believed in God. Why do we keep going back to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever? You know, one of the other things that's happened during my journey through the Psalms this time is I've come across some crazy stories. I've shared a bunch of them with you guys. Han von Meegram, the artist who forged a masterpiece to sell to Hermann Göring and went from being nationally reviled to a national hero. You have a 61-year-old English sheepherder who ran for 5 days without stopping and excuse me, and shattered a ultramarathon world record. You have people who've just done incredible, almost unbelievable things. Unexpected and bizarre things. Things that are so outside, far outside the experience of what you would expect, that your only explanation for them is that something supernatural is going on. But for every great thing, and this is Psalm is a repeated theme of God's salvation of Israel. Talks about the exodus from Egypt and how God freed Israel who were slaves in Egypt and sent them to a promised land and wiped out the people in front of them to give them a place to live. All of these great things, for every one of those, which is what Psalm 136 is about, there is a Psalm 137, which we haven't gotten to yet, but I'll give you a preview. It starts with tears and ends with rage. For every great experience, there seems to be a disaster. You know, I thought about this story of Han von Meegram because it's one of my favorites because it's so outrageous. That it's a crazy story, it's really cool, but its backdrop is the worst, probably the worst period in human history. I mean, I can't imagine finding a part of history quite as earth-shakingly awful as the Second World War. So you have really cool stuff happening, but it's the backdrop seems to be tragedy. And even this psalm, if you imagine during the triumphal entry, this psalm being recited by pilgrims as they made their way to the temple, it's in the backdrop of a nation that's being oppressed by a foreign ruler. So the experiences that we have and the history we recite and say, God did all these great things, are balanced by, at the same time, all of these awful things have happened. So our experiences don't necessarily add up to the Lord is good. Now do they? Many people have terrible experiences. Life doesn't always go the way that you want it to. Your microphone doesn't always stay in your ear. No, I'm good. Okay. But one of the other things that I have been learning is that what you perceive is not always the case. Let's actually go forward to my past scripture here, the slides I put up. That. So what is that? What's going on there? What is it? The shadow. What's it a shadow of?
Person.
Put the slide forward. Nope. Huh. The things that you see are sometimes the reflection of what they appear, and sometimes it's a shadow cast by a completely unrelated pile of objects. This is a really interesting art form, shadow art. Some people do it with sculpture, some people do it with people. There's one in particular that I really like that was some people that had shaped themselves in such a way that it looked like a person holding a monkey and, on the shadow, and it was really these three people widely separated from each other in weird stanzas. You know, our senses are fairly easily deceived. Our perceptions of the world, of events, of history, of the present, of the future, are really relatively easy to throw off. There's another one here. This is one of my favorites. This is called the shadow square illusion. Can you see the A and B there? Are those squares the same color? Actually, they are. They are the same color. There's the solution to it. The only way to see that they're the same color is actually to block out what's around it. But your eye is filling in the colors to make you think that they're the same color. But if you were to take a photometer and actually look at the colors being reflected, the light there, they're the same color. The things you see, the things you perceive, the things you think are going on are often not the things that are going on. So this psalm is this recitation of Israel's deliverance. And I was struggling with it because of stuff like this. What we see going on is not necessarily what's going on. And then there just reached a point as I was reading it over and over that I realized something. If we can go forward a slide here. This psalm starts the line, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." And give, once again, microphone getting away. Give thanks for his steadfast love endures forever. Not give thanks because he saved us from Egypt. Not give thanks because he killed Og, king of Bashan. Those are descriptions. Those are things God did. But the phrases actually say, give thanks because his steadfast love endures forever. This instructs us not, and is a celebration not of events, although it talks about them. It's a celebration of the character of the person behind the events. So whether those events are our rescue from Egypt, or whether those events are the exile in Babylon, whether those events are the oppression of the Israelite people under Rome, whether those events are our salvation through Jesus Christ, whether those events are our lives going horribly wrong, whether those events are getting in a car accident, getting a ticket, somebody showing up at church with pizza for breakfast. The thanks that is being offered, the hallelujah, is not for the event. It is for the person behind the event. The praise due to God is not for what he has done, although he would be due praise for that too. The praise due to God is because of who he is. The word, the steadfast love word, or the mercy that endureth forever, or whatever, the Hebrew word there is chesed. It doesn't actually translate terribly well to English. It's the idea of a pursuing and persistent love that, regardless of the object's worthiness, regardless of the response, it's been called a furious love, a ruthless love, a love that doesn't give up no matter what, that has no connection to you at all as the object of it. It is a matter of God's character. When chesed is used in the Old Testament, it typically is... It's translated sometimes as steadfast love or enduring love, or sometimes it's translated justice or truth. It's a word with endued with so much meaning that it's very difficult for us to understand it in our present context, because we don't believe in that, do we? The idea of love that persists, of something that is not about what you've done for me. It's about who the love that is expressed out of the character of the person expressing it. Because we don't do that. Human beings have a really hard time expressing love out of their own character. When's the last time you loved something or someone because of you, not because of it? Kind of a heady subject, but. So, we have a choice in how we can view the world. And it's interesting to me that the Psalms led me here to think about this, because it doesn't seem like a very poetic thought, but maybe it is. We have an option. We can choose to view the world the way our senses present it to us, and as we have experienced it. We can accept these images. I can go to the next slide here. We can accept that these are real, the way they're presented to us. That the shadow on the wall looks like a person, so it's a person. And that the squares look different colors, and so they're different colors. Or that my life has gone sour, and therefore the universe hates me. Or there is nothing out there. There is no destiny, there is no control, there is no storyteller. We can believe that, and this is the choice we're presented with. We can accept that our senses, which we know are easily deceived. I mean, it doesn't take much to realize that you can be manipulated. And you are being manipulated all the time. You can trust that, or you can believe that the character of God is good. The man, the being behind the story, the God behind the story is good. You can believe that, let's go to this last one. I love the end of this psalm because despite all of the long story of the salvation from Egypt and being led into the promised land and all that, it reflects back at the end and says, it is he who remembered us in our low estate. Like, this is not a celebration. This is a remembrance that we have been in bad situations, and the character of God is good. He rescued us and gives to, food to all flesh. He gives to everyone. All the things, all the good, all the bad, all the ups, all the downs. It all comes from the same source. That we give thanks to the God of heaven, not because of what has happened, or what has been given, or what has been taken, or what hasn't happened, but because the chesed of God is eternal. It does not go away. There's this this YouTube video I watched of Rick Warren talking at a conference, and he got asked a question about relevance, about the church's relevance to the modern world. And there's something he said, his response has stuck in my head for the last couple months since I heard it, and it hasn't let me forget it. His response is, you know, there's only one way to always be relevant. And that is to attach yourself to something that is eternal. You cannot remain relevant by moving with what's around you. That's just playing catch up all the time, because it's always going to move. It's like trying to keep up with style. It moves. And sometimes it comes back, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's just hideous. If you go back and look at pictures of yourself, sometimes it's awful. That's just playing catch up. The only way to stay completely relevant to all places at all times is to attach yourself to something that never changes. And there's only one thing that never changes. God's character never changes. The way that character interacts with the world has changed. The way your life will change, what God is doing with you may change. What he's done in history has been different at different times. Sometimes it's very confusing, but the character of the person behind the story, the character of the storyteller, has never changed. That is the choice that we're faced with. Do we believe that? Or do we pursue, like our friendly dogs, do we pursue the squirrel? Do we pursue the Chinese restaurant's garbage? I don't know that I would do that. All the other things that pull us in different directions, what are we pursuing? Are we going to pursue those things? Or are we going to stay focused on the character of the person telling the story? Say, no matter what happens, I know the person behind the story is good. I know that he's good. As hard as it may be at times to live your life, the storyteller knows what he's doing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us these, thank you for giving us these songs, these words from long ago of celebrating you and who you are. Pray that we would, as we go out from the church into our lives through the week, that you would remind us that you are good and you are behind everything that is happening. Don't let us get caught up in all of the things that seem to be going weird, or even the things that are going well. Help us to remember that you are behind all of it. And it's all going somewhere. And it's somewhere good. Amen.